genuine Michigan common sense on display every day.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Cheryl Fritz, filling in for Steve Gruber this morning. I want to get right out on the phone now to Dr. William Murphy, an associate professor of social science at the New England Institute of Technology and a policy advisor to the Center for Constitutional Reform at the Heartland Institute. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Oh, I'm very well. How are you?
I am well. We're close to Christmas, and Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Really interesting article you wrote in the Heartland Institute about new efforts to repeal the Jones Act could put national security in jeopardy, was the subtitle of it. Can you explain for our viewers off the top exactly what the Jones Act is as a starting point?
Sure, I'd love to do that. The Jones Act is a law enacted by Congress in 1920 that basically regulates trade between ports in the United States and our inland waterways. And the Jones Act stipulates that only American-owned, manufactured, and registered vessels can operate in that trade. So no foreign vessels can navigate or operate between United States ports, either our seaports or on our inland waterways. And it's common, they're called cabotage laws, the technical term for economic or shipping trade between ports in the same country is called cabotage. This is a cabotage law that excludes foreign vessels, crews, and any foreign-owned entities from operating in the trade in these zones.
Well, and certainly it makes sense to me. We're also going on almost 100 years of this act. Who is trying to repeal it now and why?
The biggest, there are two things. Immediately, people who are dissatisfied with relief efforts in Puerto Rico and who are, in my opinion, incorrectly claiming that the Jones Act is increasing costs and also restricting the resupply of Puerto Rico. And I think that couldn't really be further from the truth, because the Jones Act really ensures that there will be reliable American shipping service from the mainland to Puerto Rico by creating a stable market for that purpose. So I think that their arguments are misguided. It's also true that there are going to be other lobbies in Washington, D.C., who feel that their business interests would benefit if the Jones Act restrictions were removed. They may have relationships with foreign shipping companies or other foreign companies and just feel that if they had more freedom, they could save money, essentially. The argument is that these foreign-owned vessels would be economically, would be less expensive. Another argument that I disagree with hardly, because the cost advantage, to the extent that it exists, is, in my opinion, illegitimate, because many of these foreign-operated entities are not complying with American regulations, and they're engaging in illegitimate practices with their governments are, like currency manipulation, other unfair trade practices. So a lot of these things are artificial. They're not complying with U.S. regulations for worker safety or really in any other realm, and therefore I don't think that they should, that their arguments should really carry.
Well, and it seems kind of obvious and common sense to me. One of the things you talk about in your article is the potential catastrophic danger and increasing the threat of attack from weaponized shipping containers. Frankly, before I read this, it wasn't something on my radar. But after reading this, certainly that makes sense. And it seems like we should all be on the same team here. It just kind of baffles me why somebody would want to open us up to the possibility of more threats from within.
Yes, I'll tell you that. In my opinion, what happens is when you have a business or economic interests who analyze this in a very narrow way, and they only look at the operating costs for their business, mm-hmm. and they in no way take into account the massive and almost unachievable security challenges and burdens that this would put on the Department of Homeland Security and other American government entities. It would just be impossible to really manage and control this when you look at the vastness of our coastlines and our inland waterways. So it's not, it just wouldn't be a good idea. When you look at the bigger picture and consider the security implications, which include potential for terrorist infiltration on these vessels, for using them for really potentially catastrophic attacks that could be harmful to life and certainly disruptive to the economy, it doesn't make sense. You've got to consider this. And then when you look at the specific threat profiles, particularly in terms of the shipping containers, where it's baffling that Gulfcontainer, a United Arab Emirates-based company that is owned by an emir of the United Arab Emirates, who we have to consider a sovereign ruler, and another an Iraqi citizen whose brother was a top nuclear weapons designer for Saddam Hussein, and who also is an executive in Gulfcontainer, that this firm has a joint venture relationship with a state-owned Russian company whose subsidiary exports this Club K shipping container cruise missile launch system. It looks exactly like a shipping container. The top pops up, you know, hydraulically, and it then presents a quad pack of four cruise missiles.
Holy smokes.
So you can't detect it. It's impossible. So this is the real risk.
And I wanted to talk about that. I'm glad you brought that up. We're almost up against a hard break, but I want to encourage people to read this article and read more of your writings. Where can they do that, sir?
You can find me at straighttalkusa.org, and my articles and media appearances will be listed there.
Well, I appreciate it. It's a fascinating article. I learned a lot from it, and I hope our listeners did as well. Thank you, sir, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you. Thank you so much. Very glad to be with you.
Thank you.